We're going to continue our study on church leadership. I'm not going to go a massive recap today because I want us to go back to where we left off last week. I know that we had some questions that came towards the latter part and also some thoughts relating to that. So let's just do a quick reminder first of all. We'll go straight to the scripture. Hopefully you can see that okay. The sun's a bit bright this morning through the window, but we was looking from Titus. Now, so we're looking at the two views. We've looked in Timothy. We're now looking in Titus just to get an idea of what is written there. And so we've begun a study on that. So let's just read those again just to refresh our minds. Titus chapter 1, verse 6 through 9, if anybody wants to read that.
If a man is blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. Holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convict those who contradict.
Okay, thank you, brother. So just to remind you, some of those verses, very similar to what we looked at in Titus. Some of the phrases are slightly different with reference to that. We looked at blameless above reproach. I think we have to remember that is a very key point in these subjects and topics that we're looking at. We looked at the husband of one wife. We covered that again when we was studying in Timothy. And then we came to the point of believing children. And one of the things that we understand from this is that some people have a lot of various views or ideas or angles on how to look at this. What I said from my study, children who believe and are not accused of dissipation or rebellion, refers to the man's children in relation to his relationship with his father. Rebelling against the father, being out of control, and I kind of felt that when we look in our other passages, it backs up the ruling well over one's own home. So remember this, we're looking at character. We're looking at the character of a man. The question is, if a brother's children are all Christians, is that a reflection on his character? Maybe. If all his children or some of his children are not Christians, does that reflect on his character? Maybe. But then with reference to the fact that you could have a brother whose children are being taught maybe by a church minister. There are people here who are Christians whose parents aren't members of the church. So they were taught the gospel by either via other means or through other people. So the point is this. If they live like pagans and rebel against you in your own home, that speaks about the character of the father. So you can have Christian children who still misbehave against the father. You can have Christian children who still, and when I say children, I'm talking about at the mature age, people who are old enough to make a decision, people who are old enough to understand the gospel, people who are old enough we're not looking at seven-year-old children here being immersed in baptism. We're looking at people who, children who are growing and they're learning the gospel and responding to the gospel. And so the point is this, that can a church judge the character of a man as in the form of him becoming a leadership based upon his children being Christians? I believe strongly that the character of the father is seen through the behaviour of his children, how they react to him. If they live like pagans and rebel against you in your own home, then you are deemed as unable to rule your home. And therefore, that is part of it. And so, we mentioned that some translations read children who believe, and some newer translations even render this as children are believers. But one of the things that I said was, in some respects, and I've heard this through studies that I've had, and also studies from teachers that have taught me over the years as well on the subject when I was studying younger, would often say that they feel that as a congregation, it is one of those things where if the congregation felt that that's what they would like the elders of the church to have children who believe, then so be it. But I do believe that there are a lot of congregations with able, capable men whose family are in good ruling within their home, who have respect and treat their father and their parents correctly, and the father shows good leadership in his home. And quite often they are held back from becoming elders because people stipulate that your children aren't necessarily baptized believers. The question then is, with reference to this, that we should see the qualification, this faithfulness to the Father, is a reflection of the Father because of the way that the children are acting. It says, when we look in 1 Timothy 3, it says nothing about children being faithful to God or being believers. Paul simply tells Timothy that the children are under control. And remember, we're looking at the character of the man. How does he control his home? What if all his children are Christians? It's a good thing, of course, you know, absolutely, and that is a great thing. But the point is this, that no individual person can be held accountable for their children in relation to the children's choice. We are, however, held accountable for our teaching our children. We are held accountable for sharing God with our children. We are held accountable for, as parents, to passing on the message. But if the children choose not to respond to that message, then the question is that a reflection upon the father as a parent in reflection to his ability to lead and teach? And so that was one of the things that came up. The other thing was this. When we look at the passage, the same point is in consideration, and that's that they are to believe in and be faithful to their father. In other words, the leader of the father in the home and how people react to him. You know, a father can have children who have not obeyed the gospel because they have decided for themselves they're not going to obey the gospel, but it doesn't mean that they're going to rebel against their father. They're not going to disrespect their father. They're not going to disrespect the rules of his home and how he leads his home. You know, it may be a time the father needs to discipline within his home. There may be a time when a father has to make a stand and say, no, in my house, this will not happen. And all the people in that home respect him because of the standing that he's taken. And so therefore, that's the difference between the two. It says, who are not accused of riot or unruly behaviour. This states the qualifications negatively. Riotous, unruly and disobedient. Children in any man's family being enough to disqualify him are people who rebel against him as the leader of the home. What we are looking for, what the Lord is looking for in his church is for leaders. He's looking for men who can manage the congregation. That does not mean that people will fall away. That does not mean that people may be disfellowshipped through their unwillingness to repent. That is not a reflection upon the leader. What is a reflection upon the leader is his ability to rule in that house and enforce and ensure that people respect the choices that he is making for the well-being of his family. And we've already looked at passages earlier and subjects where it talks about the father's responsibility in the home. If you remember, we talked about the husband of a one wife, or one wife woman in the translation. But remember what it refers to this. This isn't just a certificate. You know, you don't just come in and say, here you go, here's my marriage certificate. Look, I am married, that qualifies me. That's why I say, look, here's my children, they're baptised. So because they're baptised, that's like a certificate to qualify me. It's there, they're baptised. But then you may say, well, actually, as a husband, you aren't a good man to your wife. You don't treat the wife properly. You don't lead your family. You don't support your family. It might be, again, as a father, you could say, well, you didn't bring them to the gospel. They were brought by the minister, or they were brought by another brother or sister in the church. And so the character is the key. I believe 1 Timothy 3, 4 through 7, that these words mean the same thing as faithful does in Titus 1 verse 6. An elder is not required to make each of his children a believer. But he is required to have his children under control. In other words, I can assess the ability of a leader within a home by looking at how the people behave in that home. You can see, you know, if the kids are disrespectful and not believing in their father, and not, then you can see that. It jumps out, it stands out a mile. And then you think to yourself, would that person be suitable to lead as a shepherd over God's church, over the flock? Is that person the right person to be able to do that? Just one of the things that I wanted to refer to with reference to what was said. Now, I know Brother Lucky, if you don't mind me referring to Brother Lucky, mentioned last week, that it would be hard for a person as a leader to come to church knowing his mature children haven't done that themselves. And I agree with that, because that would be a hard thing. It is hard as Christians, brethren. We know, those of us who have got children who aren't believers, we know how hard it is to know that they're not with us in our worship. However, that is not a reflection upon you as a person. And that is a reflection upon the choice that they have made. So I cannot judge, I cannot measure a person's abilities through, you know, if all my children are baptized, that does not necessarily mean that that reflects me. But if people come to my home and see people respect my home and respect my family and respect my rules and treat me right, and even when they move away, they come over to my house and they know the things that the standards within our home, and they respect those things, that says something differently, because that shows that you were in control. The issue is, since when can any person be held accountable for the conversion of another person? And that includes fathers and mothers. And we would give anything, you know, for our children to come to Christ. Anything. You know, it's one of the most blessings to baptise one of your own children and see them in the fold and see them there. Because that's what we as Christians strive towards. So we are responsible to share the gospel. But we cannot compel anyone. We cannot compel anyone to believe. You know, to require that an elder must have all believing children is to assume then that he is responsible to save them. And of course, our responsibility is to teach the gospel. Our responsibility is to share the gospel. Is there any more questions on that area? Yes, sir.
At this time, my understanding is what I'm saying about a leader, or someone that wants to be a leader, must show an example through a believing children. When I talk about a believing children, Timothy and Titus are bring out two different entirely. Titus nearly to the exact that they must be a believing children, whereby they have faith to in what they believe, in whatever they're doing. And I also want to understand, in the times of the first century Christians, they live the communal life. They go from house to house to preach the word of God, to visit, to do all these things together. They understand each other, they see each other, they know what is happening. And therefore, this one region has 20 months I'm in the UK. Nobody has visited me at home. I don't understand my pattern at home. I don't want to defend my money. I don't want to know this how I married my home. I may come here with pretense. I may be here with hypocrisy.
Yeah.
Because it's after this, you know, after this moment today, now till we say again the coming next Sunday. And this is only where we showcase ourselves.
Yeah.
So when we're talking about leadership now, it's go beyond a charge on the moral and liberal things. How often we visit one another? When you visit me, you see the real aspect of me coming out as a Christian. And I will not say, okay, these people, this brother is going to be a leader. My own emphasis now is that if I don't have a believing child, I don't have a child that has been matured, that has been baptized, that are coming forward to the church, To my understanding and to what I understand in scripture, for me to go to a brother's house or a sister's house and counsel a person, I'm not talking about outsiders to go and preach the gospel. I'm talking about those that know us like this, we within ourselves that know each of us like this. It will be very difficult for me to counsel somebody else. That Sister Hannah, why Sister Azoso, why are you doing like this? Why are you doing like this? The first thing does is that you point a hand back to me. And the word they say, when you point one hand to somebody, the remaining four point back to you. To show you who you are and your attitude. So if I not point out Sister or brother, I expect you to have done this like that. The next thing you do is tell me, please go home first. I make your own setting. And that way that we affect the leadership, we affect the morale of that particular brother that we're putting in place. And secondly, Christianity is to transform us. As somebody corrected, Christianity is to transform us to a better person. I had my past before. The book of Colossians chapter 1 verse 13, there are parts of the world. We are transformed from darkness to the light. So if my character is not being transformed, and how will my character be transformed from the word of God? If I have a family at home, I preach to them, father, my wife, my children, they don't believe, I preach to them. I cannot just preach the word for them to just eat and sleep and day. I preach to God for them to have a salvation. You see what happened in the book of Acts chapter 9, explain you know. Paul, Peter does not, Philip does not force him. No. He preached the word of God to him. He understood that when he called him, that what he needed to work to get baptized. And that way I stand on. If I have a child, I will preach the word of God to him. I will tell him, I'm not showing the way to what? To salvation. By the time I show you the way to salvation, I believe by the time he's not mature now, he gives a heart to work to Christ. That then they also believe that moral we are training here in their life. So if one of them just said because the child is respected me and does not believe God that serves, I'm not too comfortable in that direction.
Okay.
Let me stop there.
Okay, thank you. No, I appreciate your comments. So one of the things firstly, and I've got to agree with that, in order to, as Brother Lucky has said, in order to recognise a family, you need to be with the families, you need to be going to the homes. Just like you said, of course, in the first century, that's how they did. They worshipped in the houses, they met together, they ate together, they were in each other's lives 24-7 virtually. And so they got to see more about the families and how the families respond. And I believe that's what one of the comments that our dear Brother Lucky had said. And secondly, with reference to our families, of course, in our homes, we've got to teach the gospel. All our children should see the truth and see that there. But the question is, can we be the ones to blame if they don't respond? If my children do not respond, if your children do not respond, is it your fault? Will the Lord hold you personally accountable and say, hey, Brother Lucky, you taught the gospel? You shared the gospel, you showed the light, you lived the life, but they didn't respond. So is he then going to say, so I'm going to hold you accountable? Yeah, it does say work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And even when a young person gets to an age of accountability, that choice is in their hands, not in ours. And me as a father, as growing up, all my children, every Sunday they came in to our worship, no matter what. No matter what, I didn't care if they didn't have the shoes on, they're going to socks. We were going to church. When they come to an accountable age and a responsible age where they can make decisions, if they choose not to come, that is not for me to be concerned with in relation to feeling responsible for that. Because they have made that choice. And so therefore, that is not a mark against the father, but a mark against them making out their own decisions.
If the children not to come, what is the effort of the father? Because I want to give you a practical example of my life.
Yeah, please. Yeah.
My father was a preacher.
Yeah.
He had preached to others. He got to say, father, that, oh, my children have not lived to the expectation. And that really made me I feel pain when I didn't see love. Being a dating anywhere I come. My father brought all of us to the church.
Yeah.
Now, I'm a preacher. These are my children. And I've been teaching to talk to them, they do not understand. Please.
Yeah.
Pray to them. Yeah. When they are not upcoming, the father still has a role to play. Why did God blame me? He blame me because he saw what they are doing and does not make any action. He doesn't make any move. If I'm preaching to my child and he's not respond to me, and he's behaving, I don't make an extra effort. Call one or two brothers in the church.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Call one or two brothers in the church, please. Can you come home and speak to my children? That I expect more than this are these words I'm seeing them. Mm. Not just because they are not to the age of not to make a choice and I can not leave them alone. No. If I'm running after other people's soul to go to heaven, my family is better, but God will go to ask me questions.
Yeah.
And that's why even Moses, Joshua said with boldness, if all of you cannot serve this same God, how and my father, he has condemned him as a child. And that's where I know that it's not when a child goes to the age of 18 or maturity before we understand Christianity. From the day one, when he picked that one, each of parental care matters a lot. Both father and mother, bring them together. And he said, when you train up your child in the way of the Lord, I stand on that word. When you train up your child in the way of the Lord, when they grow up, you never depart from it. So if we cannot correct a field that has been stiff, or a hand that has been stiff, that has been bending it, I think it starts from childhood.
So bringing children up, I agree. In my house, we go to a gospel campaign, my kids come. We go to church, my kids come. We go to an event, my kids come. All through their life, as children, everywhere I go, they go. If we do it to a church event, they'll be there. If we're at Mimba, they'll be there. And so that's all through their growing up life. But they will come to an age when they're old enough and mature enough to make decisions that you are not in a position to tell them to come anymore. They will say to you, I'm not coming. And then they make that choice. Father, I love you, I respect you, but I'm not coming. I'm an old, mature person. I'm making my own choices. I choose where to live. I choose where to work. I choose who I marry. And they do all those choices themselves. That is not a reflection on you or any father. That is their own individual choice. You know, I even call my eldest son, I call him my child, my son. You know, he's in nearly his 40s, you know. And so the point is this, that there comes a time when your responsibility as a father ends as far as making decisions for them. There has to come a point when they have to start making decisions for themselves. Now, the question is, if you've got a man who has led his family, he's been a good leader in his home, he's taught the gospel, he's been a faithful man, his children love him, they respect him, they obey his rules, they observe his ways, they're good standing in the community, people respect them and like them in the community, but they're not Christians, does that disqualify that man from being a leader? And that is the question. You know, brother, yes, please.
Francis, I really want to draw something from the scriptures.
Please, yeah.
In the book of Genesis 18, verse 19.
Yeah.
When the angels actually were going on a mission to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, can you just repeat the passage again, please?
Yeah, Genesis 18, verse 19.
Yeah.
Okay. This actually was a comment from the Lord to Abraham. He said, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, one, and they shall take the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which is said, that which he has spoken of him. So basically, there are two factors here about the man, Abraham. He commanded his children after him, then on the way of the Lord. Now, when we actually look at the two contexts of 1 Timothy 3 and Titus, we see that in 1 Timothy, he actually talks about children being subjected to their father. Now, in the context of that, you now understand that when they have actually bring up children in his own day, they obey their father in all totality. And so for a Christian father whose children are obedient to him, it won't actually take much of a time for him to say, oh, you are now grown up to be a Christian, and these are the steps for you to be a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Proverbs said, train up a child, Proverbs 22, said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he grows up, he will not depart.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not going to understand what we, I mean, for psychologists, basically, cognitive, I mean, and all that. Well, a child is growing up, and you raise up a child in a way, and such a child being tutored in the way of the Lord, when a child becomes an adult, it really will not take much of the child to say, oh, Father, you have to talk about the way of the Lord, and yes, I want to obey you, and I really want to get baptized. And when we actually consider this, basically, we now ask the question, okay, what about a father who wasn't raised up as a child, as a Christian? Perhaps his children are already at the age of accountability, and finally becomes a Christian. How will that convince such children to actually follow his way? Simple, we look at Cornelius. He wasn't a Christian, but he showed up his son also to be obedient to him.
Yeah.
And when he heard the gospel, he didn't take him to the children as well, and his entire household, so he couldn't be baptized. So I think fundamentally from the scriptures, we need to really understand the basic fact that it behoves the head of the home to train up his entire household, the wife and the children, for them to be in the way of the Lord. And yes, we understand, like what Pastor Brown was saying last week, that it's not actually in the hands of us to add up the soul to the church. Yes, it's correct. But I think in that context, our own work as Christians is as disciples, to be only able to bring up people into the way of the Lord. So if I'm a Christian and I don't do the work of evangelism, then it means that I'm not actually a disciple of Christ. And if I'm a disciple of Christ, then I should start my own household to raise up children after me in the way of the Lord. So it's something that most times gets controversial, but when we look at what the scripture actually says, we really want to say that following the path of the scriptures, in teaching the kids, raising them up, and when they grow up, I just want to end with this fundamentally. Sometimes for us as Christian parents, we think because my kid followed me to church, then he or she listens to the teachings in the church, and when he or she grows up, he or she should take a decision. I owe it as a duty as a father. When I get to, I sit my kids down, and I teach them, and I preach the gospel to them. Not because they go to church with me. I tell them, if you're coming to church, you're not following me to church, but you're coming to church on your own. So when you begin to get to a level of reasoning, I teach them the gospel and the essence of being a Christian and what it takes to be a Christian.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Francis. Yeah. Yeah. Some good points in there. Yes, please.
Yes, can I add it?
Yes.
I can take my as example. For my children, when we were in Italy, we were lucky because we live in a village in Italy. But the brethren in the congregation in the living in the city, all their children stopped going to church. All their children, their brethren are doing their best to bring their children in the church, but due to the friends, the school and those things, the dad, they didn't do anything to help their children. You know, in the age about 20 going, they can't force them anymore. My husband, when we are going to church and we late, he can go and leave us. Lateness, he don't want it. So my children, before, I'm always late, so the children as well. So my husband will go, take the car, go, and me, I'll take another car with my children. So what he has said, no, if I do this, it means my husband is wrong. But instead, me and my children are wrong. I told my children, if your dad is going and you stay home, I'll go with them. I'll go with my husband and leave you. And it's true, we leave my children outside the door, and me and my husband, we went to the church 2 times. Since then, when we see that my husband opened the door, they run their shoes with them, their bag, their lipstick with them to dress in the car. So as a dad, you do the best, you do all to protect your children, to bring them to the church. I know every family is happy to see their children. Brother, when he's saying something, in Africa, we are strict for our children. His dad, very strict. So he can put that into practice to do, make strict to their children. But in here in US or UK or Europe, you know, things change. So we have to pray that God will help us to help our children to be obedient to God. Otherwise, we will do it, but, you know, so yes.
Yeah, I think something to think about is this. I don't believe any Christian father, I would be shocked to hear a Christian father not. His deepest desire is for his children to give their lives to Christ. There's no question about that. That's the most important thing. That's more important than anything else on the planet. A parent can dedicate their life, committed to giving everything they can to help their children to learn and see. Not necessarily strict, but the rules. You know, I'm not going to whip my kids to church, I can tell you now. But I would say to my kids, you know, listen, we're going to church. They know. They respect that. They know. And they come. I don't have to beat them all the way to church. I don't want to do that. I want to bring them in here and let them feel like they're in an environment that's special and precious and everything else. And so the point is this. Romans 3 says, but we know that salvation is God's work. God's work, okay? There is none righteous. That's what he says, isn't it? Not even one. There is none who seeks God. And with reference to this, what you have to remember is that you can do all that you can as a parent and as a father. All that you can. But it does not guarantee your children will respond to the gospel. They may even respond just to please you. Maybe just to get you off the case. Because maybe it's too harsh, maybe. And so there are no guarantees. As a father, as a mother, as a family, we pray about it. We do everything that we can within our ability. And we shower with them with the word. And we do everything else. But the point is this, with reference to this study here, is it the fault of the father that should prevent him from being a leader in the church because he's been a good leader in his home and still is a good leader in his home, but maybe some of his children have not responded to the gospel because they didn't hear it the way that God wants them to hear it, hadn't touched the heart. Brother George.
Yeah. I want to add something to all what we are saying, because all what we are saying, this is a Bible class. Paul says, Peter says, at times the scripture of the Paul, at times you find it very difficult to understand. And even the Proverbs, he says, train the child the way a manner, and when he grows, he's not departed from it. It doesn't guarantee. Even the person who wrote that word, Solomon, he departed from the local word of God. You see, he departed, doesn't guarantee, exactly. So this is the Bible class. At times, it depends how you look at. So me personally, what I do is, when it's come about maybe marriage, I look up about a lot of teachers. How they present the issue.
Yeah.
You see, how they present the issue. And also, I pray for it so that God will, because there's a certain things in the Bible, you find it very difficult to understand it. As long as that's why we keep on learning the Bible. Maybe a lot of people have learned, and they're still learning, because it's not easy. See, so Titus is saying this, Timothy is saying this, Brapoy is explaining the teaching, how he look at the case. And it seems like I'm a little bit, because before I was also taught that I know that the person who can become an elder supposed to be a faith, his children supposed to be a faithful Christian, so be a Christian. But even believing God doesn't necessarily mean we are Christian. That's what I'm saying. James said, even Satan believe God doesn't mean that Satan is a. This kind of teaching at times is very difficult. But for me, if we are not worried, we have to listen to the teacher, how he is presenting the lesson, and after that, we also, because a lot of, not only the first time you are listening to this teaching, because Christianity is not like Muslim religion where we force our children to become to serve God. That God doesn't want that from us, but our character supposed to, as we are teaching, because even not only church here, even the area I'm living, if I'm a Christian, I have to be a light and I have to be a salt. You see, and my children supposed to know that. So I have to give control. My children have to respect me. Even the area supposed to know that, this person is a good father, is a disciplined father, and he's a... leading, putting straightway that the person is being baptized in the Christian. Fine, it is very good, and God well pleasing that if my children are baptized, that is the, if I'm expecting one day I just go down and baptize my children. But I can choose for my children.
Yeah.
You see, it's not my job to choose, because Christianity, God allow us to choose. God can force us to worship him, you see, but God allow us to choose him so that we can worship him in spirit and also in truth. You see, so Bible studies even comes this kind of this, and at times even our churches, the way we are drinking communion, a lot of people raising that you have to use one cup. People say, all this thing. There's a lot of teachings we still don't understand it properly. That is why we all continue to read or study. So for me, if you now agree with me, we have to follow the teachings, because we have already get this kind of teachings before. So we have to follow these teachings to the end, and then you make our own conclusion.
Yeah.
You see, you make our own conclusion, because at times, if you become an arguer or all this what we think or we suggest, a lot of things. But we are all praying that my children will one day accept the gospel. That is the fact. But I can't force anybody or all my children. Or I can go and preach the gospel, but I can't. It's not my right to force that person to become a Christian. I have a lot of friends, but I can't find. My attitude is to show them the light, to be as a salt, to be as a light. That is my responsibility.
Thank you, brother. And I think that one of these to think about with reference to this, I believe that this is one of those passages and studies where, as a congregation, you can define that. You might decide as a congregation that, look, we want our elders to have all their children baptized, and I believe that there has to be unity in the church. So you don't want divide over it. For example, if you go into a room and they use one cup, I will drink out of one cup. I'm not going to get into a dispute and offend my Christian family who believe that and that at that stage. So each one of us, we can look at things in that way. The key thing is this: we are looking at the character of the man. That's what we're looking at. We're looking at a leader to over... We've already studied this about the responsibility to come over the church, to be the shepherd amongst God's people, to protect, to maintain, to lead leadership. And so that leadership then is reflected through the character. Sorry, sister, do you want to say something?
Yeah, I want to say something. Like, you know, the children, if you preach the gospel to someone and the person says, I have accepted the Lord and then I want to take the Lord as my personal savior, or I want to be baptized. I would like to remember, the children we baptized them, Gemma, Florence, We came to the church. Florence didn't tell me she's going to be baptized. We came to the church. As soon as he came, said, Mommy, I'm going to baptize. You remember? And then I said, I'm on night shift. So can you make it next week? She said, no. That particular day, Paul took her to, what do you call it, Love Ground, for her to baptize. You know, the gospel, it will touch them. You know, it was our effort. It can help them. But if they decided, because you can preach with someone, the person will say, oh, I'll come to church or I'm not going to church. So you can't do anything about the person. What we have to do as a Christian, we have to do our best. We shouldn't think that people are not listening to us. So we have to stop what we're doing now. We have to stop our Christianity. Let's keep on trying and do what the God asks us to do. I think it will help us.
Okay, thank you. Robert.
Thank you. And God bless you for giving this opportunity, all this reaction. It helps us to share knowledge and share opinion and look at the Bible from different perspectives, and at the end of it, they come to a common understanding. A lot of the things I wish to say has been said already. But I want us to look at last week, yes, I think last week, earlier last week, something significant happened in the UK. The Church of England, the chief priest, had to resign. And when I look at the story, the man resigned on moral standing. He didn't resign because of his own mistakes. He resigned because of somebody in his care did something wrong. Not recently, about 12, 14 years ago. But for the sake of moral standing, he loses moral standing because somebody in his care got lost or did what is immoral. Now, if you look at the Bible across all ages, either prophet, men of God, that God justified, the Bible told us about their family and their children. None of them have their children strayed away. We talk about Noah, we talk about Lot, when they wanted to save. The Bible told us that how did Jesus became the author and finisher of our faith? Hebrews 4:15. He said he was tempted in every way. Becoming an elder, I think, is not a license to heaven. An elder is a symbol of example for moral sake. So, and I believe that the reason why, if you look at it, the reason why we have those qualifications is for the purpose of not just a spiritual standing. He said he must have a good report both within and without. You understand? So for morality's sake, that is why those things were there. It is by the grace of God that we can do everything we do, not by power, not by our strength. For parents whose children were worthy, or who has children who have followed their pattern all their life, it is grace of God. I believe God orders our way. However, God is interested in one who can meet all those qualifications. Because from examples, even in moral standing in worldly life, people who do not have total credibility across cannot be leaders.
Trump
cannot be leaders. So I believe that if for one reason or the other, one or two of my children are not doing, they are not in the right stand, I need to work on it. I need to pray. Yeah. The Bible says, unto him who is able to do exceedingly beyond what we ask or think. If this is my desire, then I will approach God. Because how can you tell me to correct my children when I know that your children is falling away? Jesus Christ was not that kind of a leader. That's what Paul told us. He's a leader that was tested in every way. And that is that. He could be the author and finisher of faith. So, we should pray. And I think this is not a misunderstanding. It is the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that it is the Spirit that quickeneth. I pray that the Holy Spirit will show, give us the understanding to see it the way the Bible wants it. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Okay. We're kind of coming to the end on that. So I will pick up just for a short time next week before we continue on with the study then, because I don't want to ponder too long on this subject, other than with reference to the points that have just been raised now, so we can just address those as well. So thank you, everybody, for that. The most important thing is this, you know, this is about unity in the church. This is about working things out, as Brother George has said, through teaching and coming to common ground on the things that we're looking at, because we're looking for shepherds within this congregation. The question is, you know, are we clear with reference to how we can see these people? You know, how do we recognise these shepherds? Are we going to stop people who are capable leaders and worthy leaders based on the fact that maybe some of their children are not Christians? Are we going to hold them accountable for that and say that it's your fault? And that's the question that, you know, we have to think about. But have a little think about it through the week and pray about it. And then, as I say, next week I'm just going to touch on it for a few minutes. We're going to move on because this is a big subject. We've got a lot of things that we want to study on it. So I want to thank you all for your support this morning and reference to the comments that have been made. Let's go to the Father in prayer.